Welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast. My name is Peter Simons and I'm your host. Today's episode is Laura McGlure is my guest. Laura is currently Global Director of Partnership and Alliances at Ensilie, and she shares a lot of interesting lessons that she learned over the time. So let's dive in right away and welcome Laura to the conversation.
Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host.
Laura, welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thank you, Peter.
So for our listeners, can you introduce yourself? Who is Laura McGlure and what do you do?
Well, I'm Laura McGlure, and I am in the partner and alliances business. I have been in that role for pretty almost 18 years of my business career, and currently I am running global partnerships and alliances for a small company called Ensilie Solutions, and we are all about learning and performance tools that help software companies help their end users use their software better. So we're all about actually collaboration. We're about partnerships. We're about helping other software companies be successful in helping their end users get the value out of the investments they make in the software.
And I'm glad that you pronounced the name of Ensilie Software, Ensilie Solutions, because in my preparation I was already pronouncing it wrong.
And silly is what many say. It's an odd name, but it reminds you of Smiley, and Silly rhymes with Smiley.
That's a great analogy. So it's always people are always happy when they think about your company.
Yes, exactly. You make everybody happy.
Good. So when we look at alliances and business collaborations, we are in the Collaborative Business Podcast. What is for you a business collaboration?
To me, a business collaboration, business and collaboration are synonymous terms. That's how I look at the world. And as I said earlier, I've been in partners and alliances as part of my career for about 17, 18 years. Prior to that, I've had roles in marketing and product management and brand management. But I really, I've spent the balance of my career pulling it all together in the partnership and alliances arena. But to me, business is collaboration. If you cannot succeed collaborating within your organization and with your organization collaborating externally, whether it's with others in the industry, whether it's with their own customers, you are not a successful business. So to me, they are absolutely one and the same, and it's important that you have those skills personally and professionally, and that an organization builds skills to collaborate as a core competency.
Okay, I hear you make a distinction, or it sounds like you're making a distinction between partnerships and alliances. And in the same time, you mentioned that business is collaboration, and I understand that comparison. Is there a difference between partnerships and alliances, and how do they align with businesses and collaboration?
It's a stepped up scale, I guess you could say, in a higher level. So to me, collaboration is core to any successful, the ability to collaborate. And really the term collaborate means working with others to do a task or tasks and achieve shared goals. So that's somebody's day-to-day job in any kind of a business function or career. And so a company has to have the ability internally amongst itself to have people in their organizations who are good at collaborating if a company is going to succeed and continue to grow in business. It then gets magnified on a broader scale when that company decides that they are going to invest in growing partners and alliances and make that a strategic initiative of their organization. That then takes collaboration to a whole new level. because now you're dealing with an organization that does not have the same culture as you have inside, right? So collaboration is challenging enough when you're in a similar environment with a common culture where everybody has a fairly common view of what your business objectives are within your organization. But then when you're stepping up to collaborate externally, you are going to see differences in views, differences in corporate cultures and how organizations transact and do business. And so that takes this level and capability to an extreme level in order to succeed in business. So if somebody is going to say that partnerships and our alliances are important to their organization and we're going to invest in that, that to me is saying I am going to take collaboration to a whole new level and invest in being greater skilled in that arena to work outside my organization.
And how have you within Enchaily organized partnerships and alliances?
Well, the interesting thing about Enchaily is we started out because of partnerships. That's how we exist as a company. And it goes back to many years ago, about 15 years ago. The company Enchaily was actually part of an organization that was a consulting firm. And the consulting firm came about because SAP, who many, just about everybody in the software industry knows, was having great success in Europe and was coming over to the U.S. With a major transformative technology in the ERP space. And there is a very, very powerful application, and it required a lot of shift and change management within companies who are adopting the whole concept of ERP, especially with the SAP platform. And so as they were, as SAP was growing, they were needing a lot of partnerships throughout the industry to help them be successful with deployments and integration and setting up the environment. And many customers reached out to the predecessor of Enchaily to say, hey, we bought this technology, it's extremely powerful, but we need help using it. We need help helping our users to understand how they're now going to get their job done in a whole new way that's very automated. And so the parent company of Enchaily went out and started helping these companies be successful by helping end users learn how to use SAP more effectively. This was important to SAP because the more successful end users were, the happier they were with the application, the greater the chance of that the organization or SAP's customers were at being successful in gaining the value that they expected from their investment in SAP. And back then, we all know that's a significant investment organizations were making to bring SAP online. And so that's how this relationship started, in that there was a symbiosis between the consulting firm that was formerly Enchaily and SAP. And as our consultants were out there doing this work, they developed some technology to make their jobs better and make them more efficient and effective in working in these engagements. And it became over time that the technology that was built to help our consultants ended up becoming a really viable product, because customers saw how the consultants were using it and said, hey, that's great. I want to be able to use that not only with my SAP, but with other things I have. So the company evolved from beginning with a single partnership. And that relationship with SAP has been ongoing now for over 15 years. And as a result, the former consulting firm that we were part of has been spun off. We were spun off as a standalone company. So the interesting thing is that we are a small startup in a way. We've been around for 14 years as Enchaily, but we've got 15 years of a partnership with SAP and over 20 years of industry experience with 4,000 customers and 19 million users, all starting out with just two companies coming together to form a symbiotic relationship, because there was a common business goal: help customers be successful with their SAP deployments.
You're describing a very nice, basically, evolution, how Enchaily grow out of the former consulting company. And you mentioned 4,000 customers, 19 million users. How many partnerships? It are currently more than SAP and the former consulting company, I assume.
Yes, so there are now more partnerships. So as Siley and SAP build this relationship, and Siley is now standalone as a company and decides we are good at this and we want to create more of these relationships because now this is our core competency and this is how we're now going to grow as a standalone company, no longer underneath a consulting firm. So partnerships and alliances are the core way that we go to market. We really do not have a direct sales force. So since that time with SAP, we've now developed relationships with HP, with BMC, with a division of SunGard, who actually has software applications for the American K-12 education community. We have also relationships with EMC, and an organization called Camstar, and we're continuing to grow. We'll be announcing several more partnerships actually in the coming weeks. So we're rapidly expanding, which has been my job. I've been within Siley now for 2 years. I came on board to help the company exponentially grow these partnerships and go beyond the SAP and leverage that success and the success that we've had with BMC and HP to expand into other organizations.
And how are you organizing such an expansion in partnerships and alliances?
So we have a team of, and we're working through an organization shift as we move into our fiscal 15, which is the calendar year. And what we're doing is we're focusing our organization on the pursuit of the appropriate new partners, and we can talk about that in a few minutes in terms of what's appropriate within Siley. But we'll have a team of professionals that are working to identify partners and help start to bring those relationships forward. And then we have a team of folks that are there to make sure that those partnerships are wildly successful, as I like to say. When our partner, we only succeed when our partners are successful. And we look at the world as, and we go into these relationships as kind of shared risk, shared reward. We have a very unique model for what we do. And so we have an entire team of folks that are there to enable and support and onboard and then manage that relationship moving forward so that we make sure that the partner is achieving the business objectives they set out for this relationship. And Siley as well. So as part of our process in partnering, which actually is a many, many month process, we walk through the business models, what the potential would be by working together collaboratively, what that looks like to their business and to our business, and we set up key objectives. And we need to make sure that we reach those objectives. Because for many folks on our partner side, we're helping them create an entire new business that doesn't exist today. And so they've had to put a lot of work toward educating and getting the acceptance of key stakeholders and executives in their organizations that they're going to achieve this new business objective with revenue goals, etc. And so we need to make sure that we both collectively achieve that. So we have a team of folks that even more so, we're expanding that team, assigned to manage and ensure significant success with the partner.
So what you're describing is not the typical IT partnership program. When I recall how we often look at IT partnership programs, it is a big vendor has a partnership program. As a small company, you can become part of the partnership program as long as you subscribe and pay your yearly fees. But you are clearly describing you still call it a partnership program, but it's more closer to an alliance program where you're working one-on-one with an alliance with your partner to make the partner successful, as you mentioned.
Yes, this is not the standard, here's our program, you sign up at this level, the precious metal program, right, or your gold, a platinum, a silver,
yeah.
And you sign up at this level and or you're a reseller at that level. No, to your point exactly, Peter, these are strategic, very strategic alliances, and we go into them with somewhat of an open mind, because we do not go in with a standard program, because it's all about the partner. And even though we're both in the software industry, meaning Ann Siley and our partners, organizations go to the market very differently. How they bring their products to market, how they price it, how they sell it, what the business value is, etc., is very unique. And so what we do at Ann Siley is we work to fit into their model, because most of our partners actually rebrand. So here's where we're very interesting. It is an alliance. It can also be seen as what we would term in the industry as an OEM. They take our product, they rebrand it as theirs and put their identity and naming to it, and then they resell it and bundle it as a new solution that they bring to market. So it's a hybrid in terms of the components. But it's all about, as I said earlier, most of them are creating a brand new business that doesn't exist today. So because they collaborate with Ann Siley, we help them open up a new opportunity that they don't have. And so it's all about this unique approach of, instead of one to many, it's really one to few, but few very select partnerships where it does make sense. And the partner sees the value of getting close with us and is really willing to collaborate more than just pay an annual fee and say that they're a partner. There's a lot of joint activity that goes on in joint investment.
So how do you find you nicely called them, appropriate new partners?
So we have criteria that where we feel, number one, where we've been successful in the past, where we know the type of technology that we seem that we add the most value to. So the appropriate partners for us are the ones where we know we can add value. We can help them solve a business problem. And it tends to be enterprise applications, I mean, if we want to get specific here, where there is a large end user footprint, where the application tends to be complex, and it's an important part of people doing their daily jobs. They have to use the application to get their job done, but it's also important that they understand how to use the application correctly, or there's a big business impact to the customer. So that's some of our criteria that we look for. So it tends to be larger global entities, multinational software vendors, and who are all facing, everybody in the software industry is facing this challenge of end user adoption, making sure that customers and the day-to-day users of the application know how to use the application well, are happy with it, customer satisfaction. If avoiding the shelfware issue, which has always been a challenge for us when it was the perpetual software license model, now with the emergence of cloud and software as a service and subscription models, renewals. We live and die now as companies by renewals. If users aren't using an application correctly or at all, the company is not getting the value that they originally invested or expected on those ROI models, then they're not going to stay with that software company. They're going to switch and go somewhere else. So it's all about, for the software industry, end user adoption, consumption of the technology, continued consumption, renewals, and that's what makes the world go around. So we really look for those that where that whole value chain is very, very important. And that's where we know we can have value, and we can have some very good conversations about, here's what we see your challenges are, here's what we do as a company, this is our core competency as a business, and we believe we can help you, and then dialogue ensues. And when the partner sees that value, understands how we can fit into their model, sees that we're not trying to force a different model on them, but we're trying to match theirs, and we get a collaborative style out of that, then we know we've got a suitable potential partnership to build.
And how you describe it, you're staying pretty close to your core where you started, because the way you described the enterprise applications that your partner is dealing with, it felt to me like you were describing the SAP software.
Well, there are many other other ERP vendors out there, and yes, that's clearly where there's a potential relationship. We're expanding into the enterprise content management space, because that's another application environment where there's a lot of growth there. It's very key to a business process. Within any corporate entity, how they manage documents, especially those that have a lot of compliance regulations. So how well an end user understands how to use that enterprise content management application is very important, and for some industries absolutely critical that are highly regulated. So we add value in industries such as that. We also add value in the area of healthcare, around electronic medical records, electronic health records, very, very critical. As with all the changes, especially in the U.S., for healthcare regulation and the requirements for automation and technology use. So in our situation, it's very, very important for these healthcare software vendors in the EMR and EHR space to ensure that doctors, nurses, healthcare personnel, clinic personnel know how to use that application extremely well and use it correctly. In that situation, it can be a matter of life and death. So they need a solution that helps provide that capability. We're all about helping the end user do their job better. That's what we do.
That's a great value proposition. So when you look back to your own career and alliances, is there a specific alliance or partnership that you have been involved in that was the best learning experience and taught you the most on the topic?
Well, it's interesting, because when I thought about this question, my first learning really was not in alliances. When I really, really understood this thing about collaboration, it was when I was a product manager. And I had, early in my career, I was very, very marketing-oriented. I ran corporate communications and ran market development, and I did a lot of that marketing, external work. And I decided I wanted to get involved in the product side of the house and move into that. And then my education has always been in the marketing and business side of things, so I had a general idea. But it's very different when you're stepping in day to day and you're now responsible for the I guess life and end of life of products and a real revenue stream. And what was a whole new avenue for me was around this idea of collaborating with folks who did not think like I did and had a very different perspective. However, we had shared goals. And what I mean in particular is I was a product manager for a product that incorporated hardware and software. So I had to work day to day, minute to minute, with engineers, software engineers, hardware engineers, in terms of building out a market requirements document, product requirements document, and then actually bringing product to market. And it was an incredible learning experience for me about collaboration. We had very different views of the world. I wanted time to market. I wanted new features in there that would differentiate my product and really leapfrog me ahead of the competition. I wanted to get the sales force excited that we were going to bring out this great technology. Yet I had engineers on the other side of the table who were like, well, we have this process and we have to build it this way, and we need to go through all these gates and development and approvals. And so there was this very, we both wanted to get that product to market. So there was our shared goal. But how we looked at the world and how we just approached business very, very differently. And so it was, in the beginning, it was very challenging, very humbling. But what I learned there was when I took the time this may seem like, you know, it's not rocket science, but really when you stop and take the time and understand what motivates the other individual, how they think, what's important to them, what are they most concerned about. When you make statements of, I want fast time to market, what alarm bells go off in their head, really creating a dialogue to get to know them better, then you can really collaborate. If you don't invest in that time, you know, and a lot of the folks will say that's like the plain old team building, but if you really don't invest in that time one-on-one, you're not going to be successful. And I learned that firsthand and then decided to take that forward into where I went with partnerships. And I applied that when I got into the alliances role, where my first function in alliances was to handle our competitors. So I went from working with software and hardware engineers who had a different way of thinking than I did to now sitting across the table from the number one competitors that to my company, yet we had it. There was a common goal. There was some gray area, right? A lot of folks look at the world as black and white, and in my role in that alliance function was I had to find the gray. I had to find where it wasn't black and white and where there maybe was an opportunity where we could ignore the competitive side and be able to pursue an opportunity to deliver value to a common customer. And in IT, that's really critical when you're in the software business. Nobody's an island. No software is an island. Everything integrates. Everything has to work together. And so that's the common goal that I'm talking about. When your customer, the CTO of your customer is saying, look, you guys are the two, you know, 100-pound gorillas in the industry, and I need you to play together. And yes, you are competitors, but you are both in my environment, and you have to integrate, and you have to work well together so that I will stay with you as a customer. Then that's in our best interest to do so, and that's our common goal. So it was learning very humbly as a product manager, and then learning in the trenches, dealing with all our major competitors as strategic partners.
That's an interesting lesson. And if I recall your earlier saying about how you work and explore with your current partners, with your new partners, you're still bringing that lesson forward to your current daily job, don't you?
Every day. And I say this to my team. It's what's most important is, to me, it's understanding the how and the why with anybody we're working with. So we sit down, most of our early conversations with a partner, we're asking questions and we're doing a lot of listening. We are not saying very much about our products, our technology, or our company. It's more about, what are your business challenges? How do you go to market? You know, why do you have these concerns? What are your customers doing with this solution? Where are you seeing shortfalls? How are you measured? Right? Even to the individual level that you're sitting across the table from, how are you measured as a person? What are your key objectives? What happens if this doesn't work? Or if your new initiative doesn't work? And what happens if we were to do this together? You know, where does all the success go? Who, you get to the minutia of who records the revenue? Is that your business unit or somebody else? You know, understanding the how and the why, how they go to market, why they do business, what are their motivations, you are extremely well equipped to then find the right ways to collaborate.
And I can almost imagine that will be your answer to the next question, but when I look at companies or people entering into a collaboration, what would be your number one recommendation for them?
It's the slow down and ask those questions. The other key thing, a huge recommendation, and I see this a lot, it's always challenging when you have eager salespeople and eager executives who want to get a contract done. A lot of people in our industry, or maybe just in general in business, see the contract as the culmination of all the work.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. That's like step zero, which sounds terrible because it could be 2 years. I mean, I just completed a contract last night that has been 2 years in the works. So you, in a way, you want to say, yes, we're done. It's like, no, we're just beginning. So the most critical thing as part of this how and the why is getting to know, again, these questions, the motivation, how they go to business, what's important. Because you have to look at the world and you know, this agreement as you're forming this alliance, a real alliance, you have to look at it from this perspective of the execution. And you can only do that when you really, really understand them and their business. And when you really understand their business, you can also weather the storm when there are changes and shifts. Maybe you're sitting and you've been working on this project with this individual for a year about this business opportunity and potential partnership in a lot or alliance, and that individual either leaves the company, is reassigned, or whatever. And so you have to be able to withstand those kind of shifts and changes. And to me, only when you understand their organization, how they operate, what that value proposition, who the key players are, and you're able to really become like almost like a trusted advisor, are you able to weather those storms? Because people see you and the value you and your organization bring, and you're able to continue to progress that activity forward, even when there are changes on the partner side. As long as the partner structures, the partner itself still sees value in what you're discussing, but that's really very key effective. So looking for, focusing on the execution, and that's all about understanding how they operate and their motivations, and really understanding them as an entity and more than just one or two individuals from getting a contract done, so that you can deal with the change, because that's always going to happen.
Yeah. And with such a preparation, you are really crafting the foundation for a long-term partnership.
Yes, when we go into these relationships, our contract typically to get an agreement is, you know, 3 to 5 years, within, you know, usually then renewals after that. And the reason why that is, it's long term, because we put a lot of effort up front in, as well, in investment. We rebrand our product for them. We invest in our sales resources to go out and actually sit side by side with their sales team, to train them, to join them on sales calls if needed. You know, we are unique in that we do whatever it takes, in many cases, as an upfront investment to make sure that that partner is successful. So it is a longer term. You know, we invest for the long term. We know it's going to take a while to ramp up and get that momentum and be successful.
Wow. So, is there a business book or a book about collaboration that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
Well, it's funny. I went to my library here in my office, and I pulled out some of the books where I have ragged ears pieces of paper stuck in there as reminders of key pages. And there are several that really have come to mind that I found as been very valuable for me, and I keep going back to over and over. And the first one is a book called Crucial Conversations, and it's Tools for Talking When the Stakes Are High. And the authors are Kerry Patterson, Joseph Grenny, Ron McMillan, and Al Switzler. And at one point it was a New York Times bestseller. It's an excellent book. It's about, you know, as it says, when the stakes are high, whether it's talking to your boss, executive team, or in a negotiation, it's been really invaluable for me, because they are a crucial conversation, talking to your team. You know, part of this whole bit about collaboration is trying to work through and find that common goal, and even dealing with people when you have very different views of how you see something. So that's been an extremely valuable book. Another really great one, and it's actually some of the similar authors, is a book called Influencer, The Power to Change Anything. And this is a great one. And to me, influencing is the core of an alliance professional. Within our companies, you know, we only have the power to influence, right? We don't typically own or run a business unit. or line of business or a P&L. Our job is all about influencing. We're influencing stakeholders within our company to consider why we should partner with XYZ organization, why they should invest. And we're also working within our partner organization and with folks, our peers and others, to do the same level of influencing because we don't command all the resources. The really cool thing about the Alliance role and why I've stayed in it for so long is that you get to work with so many parts of an organization, you know, within your own company and within your partner's company. You're dealing with the executive team, your legal team, finance, you know, customer support. You're talking to your development team. I can't think of another role in a company other than being a CEO where you touch everything. You touch it all. You work with them. You ask them to collaborate with you to make a relationship successful. But you don't own those resources, meaning you don't own what they can and can't do. And so it's all about influence. And so this is a terrific book, also by Carrie Patterson and Al Switzler, as the authors with a few others. An excellent one that I think every Alliance person should read, and for me, reread several times.
Wow, sounds like an interesting read indeed. So I will add it to my list of books to read.
Good.
And I will include a link to both books in the show notes, so that people can easily find it.
Great.
So where can people find more about you and about Ensile?
Well, we're on the web at www.ensile, remember, rhymes with smiley, ANCILE.com. We're also on LinkedIn and social media. I'm on LinkedIn, so happy to connect with anyone and talk more about, you know, their thoughts about alliances and partnerships. I hope or try to be an active member of ASAP, the Association of Strategic Alliance Professionals. But lately, my job has been quite busy and has had me traveling quite extensively. But that's a phenomenal organization that I support heavily and when I can. I can also be connected that way.
Great. And also there, I will link into the show notes. So one last question, is there anything, or there will be two last questions, let me combine them. Is there anything you would like to share with our listeners that we have not yet discussed, is part one, and part two, this episode will go live in the week of Christmas, so is there anything you would like to share with them from that perspective?
Wow, Christmas. You know, Christmas is too, I think, is also a collaboration time. you know, collaboration is everything you do in your life. The more I get involved and have been exposed to it in my career, the more I realize, you know, it's all about collaboration. We're dealing with challenging relatives who see life differently, that you're brought together for the holidays, sitting around the Christmas or the celebration table, to collaborating with your children. So from a collaboration perspective, it's interesting to just through the holidays, especially for those in the, you know, in the U.S., that we think through Thanksgiving, which is this the time coming up, and then we have Christmas. It's look at all the ways that collaboration is a part of your life that you may not even realize, and you compartmentalize that at your work. So that's just kind of my comment when I think about Christmas. It is about collaboration and just to create harmony in a way. In terms of anything else about me, I think the one thing I would say for anyone who is looking to get into the partnerships and alliances career or function, it's to explore every aspect of your organization as you can. I think the more roles you have within your company, the varying roles that you have in your professional experience, you know, from product managers, and if some people have come from finance, some people have been in sales. What you'll find in senior Alliance folks is they are the people that have kind of been there, done that. They've had many, many different job functions in their careers, and they tend to be the most successful ones because, in my mind, they get it. They know what it's like to have to be a product manager. They know what it's like to for some of them to carry a bag and sell technology to an end customer. You know, many folks know what it's like to write code in this industry. And the greater the background you bring, our varied experience to the role, the better you're going to be, and the better you're going to be at being able to bridge and collaborate, because you can really see those perspectives and the people that sit across the table from you, especially if they have a role or similar roles as you've had in the past. So that's a great bridge builder, and I highly recommend to broaden career experience as much as possible before you get into alliances.
Wow, thank you for not only being my guest, but also bringing alliances in this broad perspective that you just nicely summarized. I often say to people, when we look at alliance people, they are more mature. No, not more mature, they have more experience in their career, and you rarely meet any junior alliance people. And you phrase it very nice with the broad background that you sketched. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Yes, there's lots of gray hair in our roles, but for good reason.
There is.
Distinguished.
Well, all right. Well, Laura, thank you for being my guest today in the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and happy holidays to you.
So far for the conversation with Laura McClure. Check out the show notes at petersimons.com for all the details about the books and the links she mentioned. And for now, Merry Christmas. And until next year.